Because I actually sat at my friend's balcony because he had the copy of it. And I sat and looked and I really actually wondered who painted it.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is quite amazing, actually.
Actually, I can't say though.
As naive as it is, it's actually quite an amazing experience for me personally, because I really liked the painting. I liked the way he depicted the guy eating the lobster. It has a kind of an 18th century look about it, because I look at many paintings. So I don't know what the inspiration was for it, but it was a really good painting. The way the pig and the face came together, I looked at that as well.
It's interesting that you asked. The inspiration is the movie Dorian Gray.
As simple as that?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, it's the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, but the image.
Yeah, I know, of course. There was obviously, because a lot of the paintings and these pictures, I've often pondered about who actually did it. No, because they appear in so many of the books. I mean, I'm not a Krishna fan. I mean, I paint myself, so I do look at a lot of other artists' work. And I mean, sometimes I do look at these pictures because I look at aspects of the lotus flower, the color of the Krishna boy, the jewelry and stuff like that. So I don't know. Fate is fate and cycle of life. And so, there I am, and there you are, which is unbelievable for me personally.
That's so cool.
So I'm very fascinated. It's really great. Nice to see you.
And it's really our spiritual master, Prabhupada.
Well, I don't really believe too much in that, but I'm quite amazed, you know what I'm saying.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's the truth. I mean, it did happen. But here you are, here I am, you painted the painting. So I sat one afternoon looking at it, so there you go. I don't know if everybody understands what I just said.
Yes.
Everybody's appreciating
it. Yeah.
There's no such thing as
coincidence. Well, this is coincidence.
Or
that.
Any other questions?
There are a few more. If not, I know what happens is that sometimes people get shy, so after the program, you're asking them more questions. Thank you very much.
Sorry,
yes.
What is material do you use? Oil, wash?
I used to use regular oils, but I started dying from the toxic fumes. So in the last, say, 4 or 5 years, I've been using water-based oils with much healthier conditions.
Who pays for it?
Who pays for it?
Yeah.
Well, Krishna pays for it, Gurudev pays for it, donations pay for it. We go around the world and people just give donations, say, here, buy yourself some brushes. Or we ask, sometimes when we're in India and we can't get very good equipment, then devotees who are coming for Karti, we ask them to bring brushes or things.
Do you give the paintings away or do you sell them?
The paintings, we're selling them, but like exorbitant amounts, because the proceeds of the paintings are going to complete the construction of our very, very gigantic temple in Navadvip in Bengal, India, where during our festivals we feed 17,000 people a day and house 17,000 people.
But
it's such an enormous.
You don't get the proceeds of the painting?
No, Krishna takes full care of us. Total full care.
Brushes? Do you use whole
pea brushes? Never because we're vegetarians.
No animal brushes?
No, never.
So just the synthetic?
Synthetic brushes are great, yeah.
Is any material, what type of material do you paint?
Well, canvas. When I first painted the Sacred Bush painting, I didn't know where to get canvases because it was my first year in India. And I've been to India for very short visits, but not to stay and live and paint. So I didn't know what to do. So I got,
That's been pretty frustrating, yeah.
Huh?
must have been pretty frustrating.
Yeah, so I went to this cloth store and got some, like a sari cloth, and I just stretched that over some piece of wood. And I became that until I realized there were canvases. Yes?
If you know anything about mantras and yantras and things like that, you know, the Vedic texts stipulate exactly what type of colors you may use. And you know, there's very copybook sort of prescriptions they give to you for what you may and may not do, you know. So you have to work within the framework of those limitations.
Sure.
And your paintings, do they reflect those framework of limitations?
Certainly.
The colouring and everything?
Most indubitably. And that's what makes them what they are, that's what makes them have their effect, is that it's simply from the Vedic mantras. For example, Krishna is described in the Vedic mantras as Ganesham, or the colour of a fresh rain cloud.
That brings my second question. In the Italian period, you had the copybook artists, but then you had the Renaissance period, where the Renaissance masters started to go back to nature and to the essence of things, and they reinterpreted nature in a more accurate and correct way. Don't you find that you need to have a Renaissance understanding when it comes to interpreting these pictures in a more accurate way for the Renaissance period of today?
Sure, we've studied actually the elements and principles of design, the same that were followed by the Renaissance masters. But because everything is in Krishna's holy name, all the universes are in Krishna's holy name, Rembrandt's in there, and Raphael, and the Pre-Raphaelites, Waterhouse, they're all in Krishna's name. So our main research is chanting the holy name of Krishna, and all the knowledge is there.
Yes, but I still get a feeling that you're restricted by the old way of doing things.
We do certainly try to make it realistic, but we don't really know exactly what the spiritual world looks like, so we just do the best we can from the descriptions in the scriptures.
Just one last thing that really interests me is, what reference point did you use? Because you didn't create this out of your imagination. You had to look at some other pictures to get the ideas to do these. So what reference points did you use?
Well, I had a little picture, this big,
yeah, sure,
of Sevakunj in a very flat, cartoony, stylized way. And then that was given to me by Srila Gurudev.
So, sorry, when were those pictures created?
I can't say.
Exactly.
Because, you know, they're just typical, what you can buy in the stores in Vrindavan. But they're traditional. The pastimes are traditional. They're coming down in a long chain of cyclic succession. And then I began showing Gurudev drawings. Every few days I would show him drawings, and he would guide, no, this is too fad, faces to this, make it more like that, more opulent saris, more Indian eyes, more lotus eyes. So he guided the painting from the sketch stage of each and every painting.
So when you die, someone will continue from...
I hope so.
Live on where you... So they'll be using your pictures as reference to... Because there'll be obviously other swamis, or other... What do you call them?
Well,
gurus.
We're training some artists, we hope they'll continue.
But there will obviously in the future be other gurus or swamis or...
I hope so.
Sorry, I don't need to interrupt. I know that you all could go on a long, long time listening to more and see more pictures, but I'd just like to thank you very, very much for coming on the meeting for traveling the world to bring this message of Krishna consciousness to those of us who are less fortunate to have an appreciation of the spiritual world. And there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita which talks about Param Drishva, the higher taste. So I think all of us had some experience just by looking at these pictures, by hearing Shamaran talk from the heart, talk with conviction, that this is reality. This is the real spiritual realm which we're all actually part of. We all course, although Shamarana is being tomorrow, we can stay connected in many ways. There's a wonderful website, www.purebhakti.com, which will give us a lot of information about Sri Guru and the Sri Krishna Master and his many books. And of course, Sri Guru tomorrow night is coming to South Africa.